holy.
You are worthy
of my praise.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Holy.
You are worthy.
So great to have Brother Mackey here, and I don't know how old I was when he first came here in 1975, I think he said. I was probably somewhere around 12, 13, somewhere around there, 14, I don't know. But one thing I appreciate about Brother Mackey is as many times as he's come here over the years, he's always been strong in the doctrine, strong in the word, and unwavering. And I appreciate that in our elders today. And I love hearing our elders preach. And I want you to come preach to us, Brother Mackey. Make yourself at home. God bless you, brother.
And thank you, Brother Grant. Praise the Lord, everybody. I was 5 years old that first time I preached here, I think. No. But anyway. But we really do have great love for Bishop and Sister Grant and Brother Roy Grant and his wife and Calvary Gospel Church. It's good to be in a church that is still continuing steadfastly in the Apostles' Doctrine. If it was the truth in the book of Acts, it is still the truth. Amen, in 2018. And for every guest and visitor here today, I welcome you to the service, and I pray that the word of the Lord will be meaningful and easy to understand. I was reading this morning, before I came to church, Jeremiah 3:15, where it says, I will give you pastors according to my heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So when I'm all done speaking today, I want you to know what I've said. All right. And in fact, I read an old book one time that helped me. It said, if you cannot preach your whole message in one sentence, you don't know what you're going to say. So, but I want you to have knowledge today and understanding. And the word of God is important. Do you know that even tongues are going to cease? But the word of the Lord shall never pass away. Faith comes by hearing. The literal Greek means listening. So when you parents that have children and you're talking to your youngster, and first you say, do you hear me? But then you say, are you listening? Right? So that's why if you want to sleep in church, sleep during the worship service, but wake up for the preaching. All right? All right, because you got to listen, all right? And and at the close of this message, this altar area will be open. Do yourself a favor and come to an altar. The Bible says it is good to draw nigh unto the Lord. It's good to pray. It's good to raise your hands. It's good to call on his name. Amen. And we have a wonderful promise from God. He said, if you draw nigh unto me, I will draw nigh unto you. It's never a waste of time to come to an altar. Never. Hallelujah. So let's open our Bibles while we stand. One more moment. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. John, chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. John chapter 14 and verse 1, Jesus is speaking, let not your heart be troubled. I guess it's easier to let your heart be troubled in 2018 for different reasons. But when you're a Christian, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So in verse 4, Jesus said, and where I go, ye know, and the way ye know. But Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way. You may be seated in Jesus' name. I pastored a church in upstate New York, and I was ordained in Staten Island, New York. And New York City was really a place I enjoyed visiting. And there is a newspaper in New York called the New York Daily News. And some years ago when I was in New York City, when I opened up the center section of the New York Daily News, there was a reporter at random that went down to Times Square, down on 42nd Street, and at random just went to people on the street and asked them one question: do you think you're going to go to heaven? And, of course, down in Times Square, there's wealthy people. There's people that are not wealthy at all. There's people of every skin color, every race, and every nationality. And so the center of this paper, there were 16 answers, 16 responses to this one question: do you think you are going to go to heaven? And so I made note of 5 of these responses. I don't have time to read all 16. They're fascinating. But I'm going to read you 5 of them. One individual asked, do you think you're going to go to heaven? Was a man who was a salesman for a film company. Do you think you're going to go to heaven? Yes, I am, because there must be some justice in his true sense. Otherwise, there would be no logic to living. Going to heaven would be but a small reward for all the dirty deals, and I mean dirty deals, that have come my way and made my life a hell on earth. So because this man had received a few dirty deals, he thinks God owes it to him. And then he said it will be a small reward. Another person asked was a woman who served drinks in a tavern, a barmaid. Do you think you're going to go to heaven? She says, I don't know. But like most women, I gossip, I talk about others behind their backs, and I'm envious and jealous of other women that have more than I have. The one thing I would not do, that many women do, is go out with a married man. Recently, I read a book entitled The Devil is a Woman, and it made sense. Will I go to heaven? I don't know. All right, so she realized that gossip and envy are wrong, but maybe because she didn't go out with a married man, she might have a chance. All right. I searched for this book entitled The Devil is a Woman, but I was unsuccessful in finding it. All right. But believe me, the devil's not a woman. All right. Another individual asked was a man who owned the tavern. Do you think you're going to go to heaven? Yes, indeed. Just as sure as the good Lord has mercy in his heart. I'm going through hell right now. I was forced out of my old place of business where all my customers were used to. Now I've had to relocate, and it's been hard for my customers to get acquainted with my new address. I've always tried to do the right thing, and there must be some reward. So again, going through hell right now. Wow. I've always tried to do the right thing. No food in the refrigerator. No milk for the baby, but you keep serving them drinks. Sounds like the right thing to me, you know. Another person asked was a woman from Brooklyn, a secretary. Are you going to go to heaven? She said, I think so. But I'm sure I'm going to have to make a stop on the way to a place called purgatory to be cleansed of my sins. In fact, I don't think there is a hell, because a God who is all good could not conceive of such a place as hell, because God is mercy. Now, the amazing thing about this woman's answer, she believes in a place called purgatory, and the word's not even found in the Bible. And she does not believe in a place called hell, and the Bible has a lot to say about that place. But listen, everybody, if you are not cleansed of your sins before you die, there's no opportunity to be cleansed of your sins after you die. Thank God we're in an apostolic church today, and the altar's going to be open. You can be cleansed of your sins today. The last answer that I made note of is a woman who worked for a radio station. Are you going to go to heaven? She says, only God knows, but I have hopes. I've never killed anyone. I've never stolen anything. I've never desired another woman's husband. And of course, that is all negative, and I know I should do something positive to enter the sacred kingdom. I'm still very young, and I hope I have a lot of time to think and to act. Now, this woman's first mistake is when she said, only God knows. When Jesus sent out his disciples two by two, he said, don't rejoice because evil spirits are subject unto you. Rejoice because your names are written down in heaven. You can know that you're going to heaven. But she said, I'm still very young and I hope I have a lot of time to think and to act. Hey, everybody, when Jesus comes, a trumpet's going to sound. We're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You have no time to think and act. But this morning, right now, on November the 18th, you have time to think and you have time to act and you can do something positive to go to heaven. Out of these five answers and out of all 16 of them, not one person mentioned Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus said, I am the way. Now, so let's turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. This is the age in which we are living. Folks, churches are like gas stations. There's one on every, you know, there's a church on every corner. Folks, there's so many TV ministries, so many radio ministries. And know what? As a result, there's a way that seems right unto a man. Because it seems right doesn't mean that it is right. I've now preached in every state but New Mexico, and I've been in 70 countries overseas. Folks, it's amazing what I see when I travel overseas, what people do, all right, because it seems right unto them. When I was in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, every February, these religious people put long pins, you know, through the loose skin under their arm and through this side of their cheek and out the other side, stick their tongue out, stick one crossways in so they cannot recede their tongue into their mouth. They decorate them with weights and ribbons, you know, and flowers, and they crawl up 1,000 stairs of a temple, and they're a bloody mess. This seems right to some people, but it doesn't mean it is right. The end thereof are the ways of death. Because it seems right doesn't mean that it is right. And then it says in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, the previous page of your Bible, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. When the Bible talks about a fool in the Bible, it's not talking about a man who cannot read or write or who is not college educated, but it's talking about their attitude toward eternal values and spiritual things. That is, and the farmer who planted a lot of seed and got a big harvest and said, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns and eat, drink, and take my knees. And the angel said, you're a fool. Not because he planted a lot of seed and got a greater harvest. He was a fool because he gave no thought to eternal values. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And now it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But you know, he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You are very wise people today to be sitting in the house of God where they really believe the word of God. Because when you hearken and you listen with the desire to obey, if you hearken unto counsel, you are wise indeed. But the fool said, nope, I mean, this is what I think, this is what I feel, this is what I'm going to do. Folks, all right, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Now, I'm a full-time traveling evangelist. All right. So on the front seat of my car, I have a Rand McNally Atlas. All right. I bought it at the Walmart store. It was cheaper there than any place else. All right. $7.97. All right. All right. So when I'm checking out the atlas at the cashier said, do I ask the cashier, can I believe this atlas? Because I live, you know, about 400 miles from here in DeWitt, Michigan. So to get from DeWitt to Madison, I open up Rand McNally. And Rand McNally tells me to take I-69 south, all right, to I-94 through Michigan, all right, you know, down through Indiana. Get on I-90, get on 294, you know, and get to Madison. But I don't know Rand McNally. How do I know if he wasn't high on drugs when he drew all those lines? Really? Really? Do you know Rand McNally? Really? What if I said, I know that's what the atlas is, but I think I should just take, you know, I-69 going east toward Port Huron. And then I go toward Cleveland, you know, and then come back down to Cincinnati. And I might be in Madison in 6 months, you know what I'm saying? But, folks, I opened up the atlas, and you know what? It tells me exactly where to go. Now, listen, everybody, if you want to find out how to get from Madison to my house, read Rand McNally. But if you want to find out how to get to heaven, this is the spiritual atlas right here. You got to do what the word of God tells you to do. It's just, you know, someone says, can I believe this Bible? More than Rand McNally, actually. And I know who wrote this book. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Heaven's going to pass away. Earth is going to pass away. The grass is going to wither and the flower is going to fade. But the word of the Lord shall endure to all generations. This is the roadmap. Now let's look at Matthew chapter 7 in our Bibles. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. In verse 13, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few, let's all say few, few there be that find it. Do you know why heaven's not going to be overcrowded? Do you know why there's going to be few people that find it? Because very few people look at Jesus Christ and say, he is the way. He is the way. Now, Jesus Christ is not one of many ways. He is the only way. Because I heard people say, well, Jesus was a good teacher. Muhammad was a good teacher. Buddha was a good teacher. Confucius was a good teacher. So whatever route you want to go. But do you know what? Buddha died and he's still buried. Joseph Smith died and he's still buried. Folks, Muhammad died and he's still buried. Jesus died. But he's not buried. He rose again on the third day. Hallelujah. Jesus is the way. Now, Jesus is not one of many ways. You know, a man told me one time, well, there's more than one highway going to Chicago. You know, all spokes in the wheel lead to the hub. I said, well, we're not talking about a wheel. We're not talking about going to Chicago. Talk about going to heaven, and Jesus is the way. And know what I like about God? He's always provided one way. The one way to escape the flood is to get into the ark that Noah built. The one way, folks, for Naaman to be cured of his leprosy is to dip 7 times in the Jordan. And Jesus Christ is the one way, all right, to get into heaven. Now let's look at John chapter 10 and verse 1. The Gospel of John chapter 10 and verse 1. Jesus said it another way in John 10 and verse 1. John 10 and verse 1, Jesus said, verily, verily, or truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Thief and a robber. Verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, we're all in this building today. How many came through a door? All right. Actually, no, how many came through a window? Anybody? Because, folks, you look strange as someone going through a window. I remember some years ago, Sister Mackie and I were locked out of the house. But fortunately, it was summertime, you know, and the windows were open. All I had to do was take the screen off, you know, jump through the window, unlock the door. You know, but the window was kind of high and I'm kind of short, so I go back to the garage, and back then they had metal garbage cans, not these Rubbermaid things, you know, metal garbage cans. So I set up the garbage can and I get on top and I take off that screen and I give this little leap to swing my leg through the window. And when I did that, I kicked the metal garbage can over. And it's 10 minutes to 12. And I had a sloping driveway, and the can goes bam, bam, bam down the driveway. I'm halfway in the window, and my neighbor next door puts his face to the screen and says, hey, you, what are you doing? And I said, it's me, Mr. Thomas. I locked myself out. He said, you sure make a lot of noise, is what he said. So, folks, you look strange as someone who's going to go through a window. But Jesus said, I am the door. The door. Folks, doors just make it easy to get someplace. They really do. I remember one time when my wife was alive, I just dropped her off at the Walmart store, and I was just sitting there, you know, doing some reading. And I just happened to look up. And do you know what? Everyone that came to the Walmart store, the door opened. It's amazing. A tall man went to the Walmart store and the door opened. A short man went to the Walmart store and the door opened. A bald man went to the Walmart store and the door opened. You know? A hairy man went to the Walmart store and the door opened. An Oriental woman went to the Walmart store and the door opened. An African-American went to the Walmart store, and the door opened. A very wealthy woman went to the Walmart store, and the door opened. And a bag lady came up and left her cart outside with all the bottles in it, and the door opened for her. Because Walmart is saying, whoever wants to come in here, the door is open. We want your business. And I want you to know Jesus Christ is the door. And whoever you are, he's saying, come on in here because I want to save you. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way. So that means we got to look, we got to study Jesus. Because in Jesus Christ is the way to go to heaven. Lord, where you're going, Lord, we don't know. And how do we get there? We don't know. But Jesus said, where I go, ye know, and the way ye know. So when we look and study Jesus, because in Jesus Christ is the way to be saved. So when we look at Jesus, we realize he was born of a virgin. Right? Does that mean if I'm born of a virgin, I'm going to heaven? No. When Jesus was born, you know, angels just filled the heavens and declared his birth. That didn't happen when I was born. Or you. All right? You know what? Jesus walked on the water. Does that mean if I can walk on water, I'm going to heaven? No. Jesus healed the sick. Does that mean if I lay hands on the sick and they recover, I'm going to heaven? No. Because the Bible says there are going to be many that said, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, do many wonderful works? God's going to say, I don't even know who you are. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. But when we study the spiritual atlas, the spiritual roadmap, folks, and we look, study Jesus, we are not constantly reminded of his birth. We are not constantly reminded of his miracles. We are constantly reminded of his death and his burial and his resurrection. Constantly, we are reminded Jesus Christ died for our sins. Jesus Christ was buried, and Jesus Christ rose again according to the scriptures. Listen, everybody, the story of the crucifixion is not a fairy tale. It's not a figment of some man's imagination. But they really did come and take Jesus, and they beat him more than any man was ever beaten. He stands before a band of soldiers, and they blindfold Jesus. And these guys hit him in the face, and hit him in the chest, and hit him in the groin, and hit him in the kidneys, and hit him in the back. One translation for Isaiah said he was beaten more than any man was ever beaten. In fact, you cannot even distinguish the nose from the cheekbones. Amen. And from the chin. And folks, when they beat Jesus, blood did come out of his nose. And blood did come out of his mouth. And blood did come out of his ears. And folks, they put stripes on his back. And there was more blood that flowed. They put a crown of thorns on his head. More blood. Folks, they put nails in his hands and feet. More blood. And they drove a spear into his side. Even more blood. Do you know why? Because the blood of bulls and goats has no power to take away my sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Blood had to be shed. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ died. They took a bloody corpse off a tree and they buried Jesus. But he's not still buried, and he's not still nailed to the cross. But on the third day when the earth shook and the stone rolled back, Jesus forth comes out of the tomb alive now and forevermore. We are constantly reminded with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But what does the death, burial, and the resurrection of a man by the name of Jesus over 2,000 years ago mean to us in 2018? We identify with the death and the burial and the resurrection. Jesus Christ died. There's a Bible term for our death. It's called repentance. There's more to repentance than shaking a preacher's hand, all right, and filling out a membership card and raising your right hand and saying, I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Repentance, you align your entire life, attitude, everything with what the Word of God says. Repentance is saying, I don't want disobedience. You turn your back on that. Say, I want obedience. God, I'm so sorry for all my sin. Forgive me, God. And God wants to lift that heavy load of guilt and shame off of your life. Jesus Christ was buried. The Bible says we are buried with him by baptism. The word baptize means to plunge, to immerse, to dip. That's why we don't have a little bird bath sprinkling fountain in this church. Folks, because it's hard to immerse someone in a sprinkling fountain. Right? We have a tank of water here. We are buried with him by baptism. But on that third day when the earth shook and the stone rolls back, the Bible says, if the same spirit dwell in you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's not the most beautiful church building in Madison. It's not the Vatican. It's not the Mormon Tabernacle. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. It's the death, it's the burial, it's the resurrection, it's repentance, it's water baptism by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, what, that they crucified the Lord? That's why they were pricked in their heart. Their attitude wasn't arrogant. Well, okay, we crucified the Lord. What can I do? No. You mean we've crucified the Lord? Is there anything I can do? What shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, all right? Everyone that wants to go to heaven, raise your hand, and we'll give you a membership card. All right? We want your name, your address, your cell number, and your credit card number. All right. And if you want to be a member, you just check the box that says yes. And I'm going to lay my hands on these cards and pray for these cards. And you're going to heaven. All over Madison, people will go to church and sincerely do what a preacher tells them to do. It seems right, but it's not right. What shall we do? Peter said, oh Lord, thank you for the service. There's been such a response. We've run out of cards. Oh, okay. Anyone else that wants to go to heaven? We have a counselor over here, Thomas, Bartholomew. Go over here and talk to these counselors. And when you get out of the counseling room, you're going to heaven. No one was instructed to go talk to a counselor. What shall we do? Peter said, oh, thank you, Lord. There's such a good response here. The cards are gone and the counseling rooms are jammed. Listen, anyone else that wants to go to heaven, step out of that pew, come up to this altar, and raise your right hand and say, I accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. No one was instructed to do that. What shall we do? Peter said, Lord, this is fantastic. The cards are gone, the counseling room is jammed, and there's a lot of people at this altar, but I sense we still have some shy, bashful, timid people out there. Listen, we now have a toll-free number, 1-800-987-36. Call the 800 Club. Folks, they did not even have telephones. But when they said, what shall we do? All right? He gave them the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. All right? Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent, which is identifying with the death, and be baptized, buried with him by baptism, every one of you, every one of you. That means me, that means you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hey, everybody, if it was the truth in the book of Acts, it is still the truth, folks, in 2018. And I feel so safe. I feel so safe preaching what Peter preached in the book of Acts, chapter 2. This is the way. Because, see, Jesus, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the head, and the church is the body. So does the head die and not the body? Do they bury the head and not the body? Does the head resurrect and not the body? But I'm telling you, everybody, I know that I'm a part of the body of Jesus Christ because he died and I've died through repentance. He was buried and I've been buried with him by water baptism. He rose again and I have resurrection power. Amen. In the depths of my soul. The death, the burial, the resurrection. This is the way. In fact, let's look at Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 in our Bibles. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 41. Or excuse me, verse 40. Right? And saying, thou destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days. Save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him, but the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. Jesus could have called 10,000 angels. He could have come down from the cross. He could have, but the reason Jesus did not come down, because he knew that people just believing in him would not save them. There had to be a death. There had to be a burial. There had to be a resurrection. Blood had to be shed. Come down and we'll be, no. Jesus said, I cannot come down. I have to die so you can repent. I have to be buried so you can be baptized. I need to resurrect so you can receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Let's clap our hands for what he's done, shall we?
Hallelujah! Oh, Jesus!
Because if there's some other way to be saved, then the blood of Jesus is worthless. The resurrection is meaningless. Don't get excited on Easter Sunday. It's the death, it's the burial, it's the resurrection. You don't have to go to a theological cemetery for 8 years to understand this. You are the best theologian in Madison. The death, the burial, the resurrection. Now, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. In Acts chapter 18, all right, and verse 24. Acts 18:24, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Verse 25, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only, let's all say only, knowing only the baptism of John, referring to John the Baptist. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded on him the way of God more perfectly. The word for perfectly in the Greek means more accurately. All right? So here's Aquila and Priscilla say, man, that Apollos, man, he's a good preacher. He's eloquent. Man, I like how he preaches. But all he knew was what John the Baptist taught and preached. So now the service is over, and Aquila and Priscilla went and said, hey, Apollos, praise the Lord. Man, I enjoyed that message. Boy, you sure are acquainted with John the Baptist, right? Yeah, boy. Amen. John the Baptist, not a mightier prophet. But then they said, but do you remember how John the Baptist said, I must decrease, Jesus must increase? John says, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Wow. And then what? They expounded unto him the way of God more accurately, more perfectly. They did not take away what he had experienced. They just said, now this is what this means. And I'm not in this pulpit to take away from anyone's religious background or experience. I would never tell you, you never touched God and God's never touched you. Never. But some people know only what the TV evangelist told them. Some people know only what the Christian book writer told them. Some people know only, you know, what their grandma and grandpa told them. But I'm here to expound unto you the way of God more perfectly. If you're here today and you've never repented of your sins, you must repent of your sins. If you've never been baptized by immersion with the name of Jesus called over you, amen, at water baptism. Because whatever we do in word or deed, we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. You need to get in water and be baptized again. If you've never spoken with other tongues, there's more for you to receive from God. This is the way. Jesus said, I am the way. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 19. In the Bibles, we're right there. Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19 and verse 9. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way. See, I mean, in the book of Acts, people knew what the way is. I'm glad we know what the way is. Some people still speak evil of this way. All right? You know, they spake evil of that way before the multitudes. He departed from them and separated, you know, the disciples disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. Right? But then it says, all right, but then it says in verse 23, and at the same time there arose no small stir about that way. Do you know what Madison needs? It needs a big stir about this way. Hallelujah. When's the last time you talked to someone about baptism in Jesus' name? When's the last time you encouraged someone to receive the Holy Ghost? When's the last time you taught a home Bible study or brought anyone to church? We need a big stir about this way. Now, Acts chapter 22 and verse 4. Acts chapter 22 and verse 4. Because here is Paul giving his testimony in Acts chapter 22 and verse 4. All right? He said, "And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women." Because Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel, folks. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. But now what Jesus did is going contrary to the whole law of Moses. So he said, "I persecuted this way unto the death." But do you know what? God got the whole of his life. And he said, "Who art thou, Lord? Who art thou, Jehovah? I am Jesus. Why are you persecuting me?" So know what? He went. All right. So Paul went. All right. And in verse 16, all right, he goes and sees Ananias. "Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." All right. So the Bible's still asking that question. All right. Why are you tarrying? Get baptized and have your sins washed away. So now in Acts chapter 24, he's giving his testimony again in Acts chapter 24, all right? In verse 14, Paul says this, "But I confess unto thee that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all those things which are written in the law and in the prophets." So know what, folks? After the way that some people call heresy, we are still worshiping, all right, the true and the living God. "Of all the days I have been in Times Square in New York City." Man, I would spend a day down there just eating pizza and cheesecake, you know?
Really?
Folks, this is good. I mean, I wish I would have been in town when the reporter was there with his microphone and his camera. He comes up to me, "Do you think you're going to go to heaven?" I'm going to say, "Yes! I repented of my sins. I've been baptized in Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, I'm going to heaven." "How about you, sir? Do you think you're going to go to heaven?" "I'm the reporter here." "No, but let me tell you what Jesus did. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. And Jesus rose again. Nobody loves you like Jesus loves you." Let's stand and raise our hands and love him right now, shall we? Hallelujah. Come on, everybody. Aren't you glad he did not come down from the cross? Aren't you glad he stayed right there? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And you know what, everybody? When we come to this altar today, we're coming to the door. You're not coming to me. You're actually coming to Jesus. And you know what? The door is not padlocked. There's not chains through the handles. Folks, there's not a combination. You need to know. Folks, when you come to the door, when you repent of your sins, you're just coming through the door. When you get in water and get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you're coming through the door. Folks, when you come here in hunger and thirst and yield to the Spirit of God and speak in tongues, folks, you're coming through the door. Why do we make it so complicated? Are you glad you don't have to put pins in your skin and crawl up 1,000 stairs? Folks, no. Jesus is the way. And do you know how, folks, of all of Madison, I don't know how many churches are teaching that or preaching that this morning, but I expound unto you the way of God more perfectly. God wants to forgive somebody today. God wants to fill somebody today. God wants to save somebody today. Hallelujah. So we're going to sing the soul chorus. "Here I am, Lord, here I am. You invited me. I'm coming to the door, Lord. Here I am. Amen. I give all myself to thee. Let your spirit move through me." And you that have come through the door, you need to come to this altar and thank him one more time that you heard it. If you know it, and for any guest or visitor here, why don't you let this be the day that you say, "Yeah, I'm going to hearken unto counsel. And I want to be wise." Amen. This altar's open. We're going to have altar workers here. Here I am.